noon hour, Christmas Eve. Brent Lauchs filling in for Evan Bray. Evan will be back in the new year here. Had an opportunity to sit down with Samantha Beacott this week, president of the Saskatchewan Teachers Federation. I wanted to just get a sense of how things are in the world of teachers in Saskatchewan these days after challenging times over the past year or two as far as contract negotiations and what might lie ahead. So, Samantha, just how is it for teachers right now in your role as president of the Saskatchewan Teachers Federation? Doing okay?
Definitely in a better position than we were in a couple of years ago, but still lots to do to get us back to where we were when we were first in the country for per student funding back in 2012, 2013. But we definitely took some positive steps forward that brought improvements to public education, but still seeing a lot of challenges across the province where teachers are struggling to meet the needs of all of their students.
We hear a lot about classroom complexity. Can you tell us what exactly that is?
That's a great question. When we talk about classroom complexity, we're talking about all of the needs and challenges that students have in schools across the province. And when we're looking at our classrooms, we're seeing more students coming to our classrooms who have additional needs. And sometimes those are challenges. Sometimes those are additional needs in terms of supports where maybe they're ahead of a class and needing enrichment projects, but sometimes it is those academic, social or behavioral needs where students are struggling in classrooms. And so when we look at a classroom, there's so much diversity in students' academic abilities or students' social abilities or their behavior abilities and their backgrounds when they're coming into our schools, and we have fewer supports available to meet those needs. And so that's where the complexity comes in. Is that teachers can't be everything for every student at every minute of the day, especially when their class sizes are growing. It makes their jobs more difficult when they're trying to meet all of the individual needs in their classroom.
And, you know, I suspect some of the critics of the education system out there have likely never even been in a Saskatchewan classroom in the past 20 or 30 years and would be surprised, probably shocked, to see how very different classrooms are these days.
Absolutely. And that's something that I've shared with folks in my conversations, is that classrooms don't look like they did when I was in school or when you were in school, or likely the decision makers when we're talking about government or school boards when they were in school. Mm-hmm. Schools are structured differently. We have inclusive classrooms, which brings a lot of positives with it for all students learning, but we need to support those classrooms properly in order to ensure that all students can be successful in schools. We also have larger class sizes than we ever did before, and in some cases, the classes might not be larger, but we have more split or multi-graded classrooms, which adds a lot of complexity to it. So it definitely is a different situation than what you might be picturing when you're picturing a classroom when you had experienced it.
Absolutely. Now, I know there was talk in your negotiations with the province that there was going to be the hiring of these classroom complexity teaching positions. Did that get accomplished? Weren't they talking about as many as 500 new positions?
Yeah, there was just over 500 additional positions brought to Saskatchewan schools through the decision of the arbitrator's decision that we received back in kind of March, April is when we finalized that. School divisions were able to hire the majority of those positions, although, as we've been saying as well, we do have challenges with recruitment and retention of qualified teachers in our province, but that's not just a Saskatchewan challenge. That's a challenge that we're seeing across Canada and really internationally as well. So there are some vacancies that remain for teaching positions across the province. But the large majority of those were able to be recruited, and we're seeing a lot of positives associated with that. Always some challenges that come with the implementation of a new project or a new position like this, but a lot of positives in terms of benefits for students. And as I said, we still have lots of challenges that remain, though, still as well.
Is teaching, in your mind, still a good profession to be in? Someone thinking about becoming a teacher, what would you say to them?
Well, teaching is an incredibly rewarding career, but it doesn't come without its challenges, as we've been talking about with classroom complexity. But we really need those dedicated people who care about kids, who can kind of multitask, you know, those multitaskers to come into the workforce. But as we continue down this path, looking at improvements, and we've heard commitments from government recognizing the importance of public education, and we start to address some of those challenges that come with classroom complexity, it is going to continue to be an incredibly rewarding career that that lots of people would, I think, see value in participating in.
So where are you at then as far as future bargaining or negotiations? I think the current agreement ends the end of this coming August, I believe. So what is that going to mean then for teachers and for you in your position as president of the Teachers Federation?
Another great question. We're talking about our previous agreement just kind of getting implemented within this school year. We are also preparing to go back to the bargaining table in the end of May, kind of start of June area, so before the school year even ends. As you said, our agreement doesn't expire until August 31st of this coming year, but we do like to get ahead of it a little bit, hoping that the government and school boards come to the table ready to engage in that good faith negotiations, as we always do, hope for and hoping to get an agreement negotiated at the table. As I said, we're still experiencing a number of challenges within schools across the province, so looking to enhance what we have with classroom complexity to ensure that teachers can do what they do best and focus on teaching the curriculum and instructing students within classrooms, and ensuring that we get additional supports within schools. So that's really what we're focused on, is hearing from teachers around our current article on classroom complexity, seeing what maybe can be adjusted and built on in terms of the successes within schools and classrooms.
Samantha Bicot, president of the Saskatchewan Teachers Federation, with a look back to 2025, and as she was saying, looking ahead to 2026, as they got their contract finally resolved back in the spring here through arbitration, but it's back to the bargaining table here in the new year, as this current agreement will expire at the end of August. But to all the teachers out there, all the students as well, everybody involved in our education system in Saskatchewan, hope you have a really good restful holiday break over Christmas and New Year's, and then back to the books in early 2026. This is the Evan Bray Show. Brent Lauks filling in today on CKOM and CJME.
Later we'll have some pumpkin pie and we'll do some caroling. You will get a sentimental feeling when you hear.
Well, I feel bad for Evan Bray, who's under the weather these days, as so many people are, but it's been a nice break for me to be able to fill in, and I appreciate the opportunity to be here with you. I'm off for a couple of days, but I'll be back on my Saturday morning show. If you aren't aware, for the past number of months, I've been hosting the Talk Shots program on Saturday mornings on CJME and CKOM, and I'll be there this Saturday as well from 6 in the morning until 11 as we get through the holiday season here. Number of texts on a number of different topics that people have sent in at 1-877-332-8255. Just talking about sickness and the flu that's out there. One of our listeners says lots of people have allergic bronchitis, pneumonia, and severe sinus infection with strep from bacterial infection. That's a lot. Starts as a cold or virus or allergy, and those of us with lung and heart disease, as well as other conditions, always get real sick. Notice your voice is hoarse still, too. Yeah, well, my voice is always hoarse just from talking so much on the radio. But no, I know what you're saying, that I've had sinus and throat issues this fall, as well as so many people have. Lots of things going on, as this person said. You look at the amount of forest fire smoke that we've seen over the years, airborne toxins. Each time we get sick, this person says, our lungs seem to get weaker and weaker. Some thoughts on all the different
illnesses that are out there these days. Do take care. Take care of yourself and your family. Keep in mind, if you have to go to the hospital, to the emergency ward, expect a wait. They are very busy these days. 1-877-332-8255. Roy, thank you very much. Wishing you and all of Saskatchewan a very Merry Christmas. Roy threw in an answer here to the Saskatchewan Smartest Radio Listener when I was talking about an event of 1917. He says, was it the Red Baron? No, it had nothing to do. And sorry, I don't have Snoopy and the Red Baron for you, Roy. All the best to you and Merry Christmas and thanks for being a listener. Let's see. Sean on the highway says, FYI, Highway 41. Clear sailing from Melfort into Saskatoon. Thanks for that traffic update there, Sean. 1-877-332-8255. Anything on your mind? We can squeeze in a few more comments here before the top of the hour. I see the Prime Minister. We earlier heard from the Prime Minister in something that I don't recall seeing in recent years, but good on Prime Minister Carney as he sent out a message to the Canadian Armed Forces members, and I think most people were thinking that was a good idea as well. Here's the Prime Minister's message to all of Canada for Christmas.
Happy holidays, Canada. In a more divided and uncertain world, the holiday season is an opportunity to slow down, reflect, and focus on what really matters. This is a season of joy for families, and I hope you find time to rest, reconnect, and celebrate with the people that you love the most. For Christians, Christmas holds a special meaning. It's a time to celebrate the birth of Jesus, to rejoice in the light that he brings, and to recommit to follow his example of service, forgiveness, and generosity. For Canadians of all traditions, the holidays remind us that there can be hope after despair, that light follows darkness. This is a time to remember those in need of comfort, those struggling to get by, those grieving a loved one, a time to help with a call, a visit, or an act of kindness that reminds someone that they are not alone. And although this year has brought more than its share of challenges to our country, we've also been reminded that we are fortunate to be part of one extraordinary, generous, and caring nation. That we're strongest when we're united, when we look out for each other, when we take care of each other. Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays, Canada, from my family to yours.
Prime Minister Mark Carney with his end of the year Christmas greeting right here on the Evan Bray Show. Brent Lux with you just for a few more minutes here. I got to get home and get going on my Christmas movie viewing. You know, it was interesting when we were doing some reminiscing earlier about being kids and listening to the NORAD reports on the radio. That was the only way they had the NORAD reports in the early days. You'd have your transistor radio and your earpiece in and you'd be listening. But it also got me thinking, you know, we're so spoiled nowadays with all of the choices we have with the streaming services on your TV and how you can find just about any movie or Christmas show and all the Christmas movies that are out there. But in the day of radio reports for NORAD and you had your black and white TV, you had Charlie Brown's Christmas, still one of my favorites, and the claymation version of Rudolph. I often wondered, you know, when they make those claymation things, how they're able to do it. What a long, arduous process that may be. You know, you think about they have to move those little figures and get a single screenshot of it and then run it all together to make it look like it moves. Okay, so that was early TV viewing of Christmas shows, Charlie Brown's Christmas and the Rudolph claymation shows. Of course, for movies now, my gosh, any number of movies, you know, if you go back to some of the classics in the 40s and the 50s and then up to more modern times with Christmas Story, my favorite, the BB gun one, Christmas Vacation, pretty close to my second favorite there, Home Alone, Elf, Scrooge. You know, the different versions of Scrooge, always love them too. It's a Wonderful Life, Miracle on 34th Street. It's really nice, I find, nowadays, especially with all the stuff that we have to deal with in the world these days and all the stuff that gets put in our brain. It's just a nice, relaxing way to escape a little bit, and especially when you got your family and loved ones around you and able to watch some of these great shows. Heading towards the new news coming up here at the top of the hour, there's a story that caught my eye this week, and the part of it that really surprised me is how this is taxed. Now, what I'm talking about, and you may have heard about this, Kentucky bourbon maker Jim Beam I'm not a bourbon drinker. I can't stand bourbon, but I know there's a lot of people out there like their bourbon. But here's what the story is. Jim Beam, not Jim Baker. Oh boy, where'd that come from? Jim Beam bourbon maker are going to pause production in their main plant the 1st of January just because they have a bourbon surplus. Now, some parts of this story point to what's going on in most Canadian provinces, not Saskatchewan and Alberta, but most Canadian provinces still not selling American booze. And that's part of what's going on. But the bigger picture with bourbon, apparently it's just losing favor. A lot of people aren't drinking bourbon these days. So, okay, I get that. That's a choice that, people are making. I think a lot of people are still drinking hard liquor. I know vodka and rum are still very popular items. I've never been a bourbon drinker myself. But what I really found interesting in this story for Jim Beam bourbon is the way that they're taxed. So to make a barrel of bourbon, it takes a number of years for it to mature, and they have different maturity settings. You know, they want to get one that's 5 years, 10 years, whatever. In the state of Kentucky, for every barrel of bourbon that you are having in your warehouse, you pay an annual tax. Isn't that wild? So you think about the challenges that must make for these bourbon makers. They're paying taxes on products that they haven't sold yet. And as I say, some of these barrels sit in a warehouse 10 or 15 years. They say right now, Kentucky has an all-time high of 16.1 million barrels of bourbon in their warehouses. And because of that, the state tax means they have to pay $75 million in what they call the aging barrel tax this year alone. So that's going to cause some real challenges for these bourbon makers as the demand for their product is dropping for a number of reasons. And the fact that they have to keep paying the state tax on products that's just sitting in the warehouse. Okay, not a problem for me. As I say, I'm not a bourbon drinker. Maybe you are. I got to get out of here. I still got Christmas shopping to do, for goodness sakes. It's not the last minute yet. Brent Laux, happy to be filling in on the Evan Bray Show on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.